following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, this month is National Bullying Awareness Month, and I was thinking about it. We have so many who call our program where bullying is one of the, really, the, if it's not the main factor or reason for their call, it's an underlying factor. And so how would we know a bully when we see one? What are some of the characteristics, the traits that you can tell us about?
Well, think about it this way. Instead of being tender, bullies taunt their victims. In other words, I'll say it this way, to feel superior, they try to make others feel inferior. And there are basically four categories that would be considered bully traits that can help you easily identify those who bully others. And I think it's important. The four areas would be mentally. What do they think? What is their thinking? What do they feel? What do they do, their behavior? And there are certain social traits. But I never forget, when working on this topic, it's just hard for me to think the way bullies think. They think their behavior is justified. No matter what they do that is harsh, that's wrong, they feel it's justified, and they can be quite convincing. They think impulsive thoughts that result in impulsive behaviors. They think it's okay to say mean things, like, you know, your clothes are ugly. I mean, it can be far, certainly not sensitive. They can be very insensitive. They think nurturing relationships, that would be a waste of time. And they think they should always be the center of attention. They believe it's okay to be mean because their victims deserve it. By the way, usually, with bullies, they were bullied. They were treated wrongly at some point. So it's kind of revenge, it's get back. They believe they're more important than others, and they exude arrogance. And they believe that others owe them. You owe me, and you should be subservient to me. That's the mindset. Emotionally, they feel angry if they're accused of wrongdoing, when it's clearly that they did wrong. They feel the need to control and dominate others. They feel no empathy. This is a key area. You know, you think, well, so-and-so needs to identify with hurt, somebody else being hurt. It's classic that they don't feel empathy or compassion for others. They feel entitled to get their own way. They feel the need to be first or to always win. And therefore, they feel powerful, they exude confidence, and feel vengeful when challenged. Now, in regard to behavior, even if they know they have done wrong, they act innocent, or they could be unaware of their hurtful actions. They blame others for their own bad behavior. It's called the blame game, what I call the blame game. They can intentionally draw or doodle disturbing images. They're drawn to websites, by the way, that promote violence, supremacy, aggression. In fact, they exhibit aggressive attitudes that lead to aggressive actions. It would not be unusual for them to frequently use alcohol, tobacco, other, whatever kind of drugs. They possess strong personalities, and a lot of people want to be sure that they stay on their good side, or else they're afraid that then they will be the target of the bully. So they can have a type of charisma that would induce others to follow them. And they use their verbal skills to persuade others just to do their bidding. So in terms of just social traits, they it's like they have to be the center of attention. They associate primarily with those who exhibit aggressive behavior, so they can there can be a gang mentality. They become less popular later, and they form exclusive friendships or groups, you know, the gang kind of mentality. They have a reputation for bragging, being demanding, bossy. They initiate, it's not unusual for them to initiate harassment, phone calls, emails, texts, just belittling. They can become ringleaders, and they often wear clothes and hats affiliated with gangs or cliques.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of alcohol and drug abuse, we have resources for you. You can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE, and they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd be happy to help you access the appropriate resources for you as you get help for yourself, or maybe as you try to help others with some resources as well. Their number again is 800-488-4673. The Keys for Living we're recommending tonight called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free and Staying Free. And you'll want to make sure that you get a copy of that for yourself. And if you would rather email, you may do so at customer support at hopefortheheart.org with any questions regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. That email again, customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. We have, again, the keys for living called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free, and Staying Free. You may also be interested in one of June's books called How to Defeat Harmful Habits. That's How to Defeat Harmful Habits, and you can get that as you get in touch with customer support. Let's get to our call now with Jan.
Well, hello, Jan. Welcome to Hope.
Hello, how are you?
I'm blessed. Good to talk with you. Blessed to talk with you. How can we help you?
Well, it's kind of hard to know where to start, but I've had a problem with alcohol for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was off of it for years. I got saved many, many years ago. Well, it's 1979. And at least 10 years of that, nothing. And then, of course, I married somebody I wasn't supposed to. Oops. And that's another mm-hmm. story. But then he started falling, and then I fell. Then I picked myself back up and fall again. And there's divorce in there. but it seems like, and I can go without it. I don't care if it's there. If they said tomorrow, hey, we're going to abolish alcohol, I'd be going, mm-hmm. all right, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be something every once in a while. I go, all right, let's do this. I'm like, I don't quite understand. They don't really care if it's there or not.
Mm. And you said that you have had a difficulty with it. Are you saying from 1979? Did you say that?
1979. That's about 8 years old.
Wow. Tell me about that. 8 years old.
I got my Aunt Diana gave me my first drink of alcohol at 8 years old. We were at a family get together, and she gave me a drink of green beer for St. Patrick's Day. And
mm-hmm.
I have an older brother who gave me my first hit of marijuana. And it just kind of went from there. I got involved mm-hmm. in the occult and all kinds of other things. And that was from a young age, from when I could go to the library
mm-hmm.
and get books on witchcraft and the occult and all that other kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so then what happened? Tell me the journey of your life in this area.
Which particular one?
Well, how about, tell me your spiritual journey. I'm hearing that, what was it like for you even with your parents?
Well, I have great parents. I mean, I was raised in church, but it wasn't a church that where you heard the gospel.
I understand that personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you shouldn't hear about it. You got confirmed at like 13. It was a big deal. Something I didn't want to do. I was like, well, okay, if you want me to, fine. And, but all through those years, I was raised on a steady diet. My parents let me pretty much watch what I wanted to, get what I wanted to from the library. So, I started stuff with, like, Dark Shadows and Bewitched and all the stuff that we thought was just entertainment at that point in your life. But I was a small child. I started mm-hmm. watching and stuff like Dark Shadows and Dracula and all that when I was about five or six.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was scared to death, I still went mm-hmm. back for more. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, part of that is there's an adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're talking about Dracula and you're 5 years old, all of a sudden there's this heightened sense of emotion. And there, that does something in your brain. I mean, there people who've done the studies on this understand there are certain highs. For example, cocaine, you can have the same chemical high in the brain that literally, like those who have a sexual addiction, and they keep wanting that high feeling. Now, yes, those are coming down, but that's one of the reasons it is so addictive. It's because of the change in your mood. And if it's a pleasurable feeling or an exciting feeling, a person can get addicted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Perfect sense.
Okay. And so you had basically well-meaning parents But then these other influence, and yet you weren't in a biblically based church at that point.
No.
And again, I totally understand that. I knew nothing about the Bible, but I was in church too. But the Bible wasn't taught or wasn't presented. No one took a Bible. Okay. So then what? Give me what happened after that.
Okay.
Your teenage years.
Teenage years. Well, I got. I discovered boys, oh boy, and the drugs and the sex, the rock and roll, attempted suicide several times, tried to OD, was in and out of the mental ward but for 2 or 3 years, was under psychiatric care from about 14 till about 18, somewhere in there. And they just pumped me full of more drugs, which never made sense. I was supposed to be getting off drugs, but I guess that was therapy. And then I ran away from home. I was about 17, 16 or 17. And then came back home, met somebody. We got saved together, so I assumed wrongly that that's the person I was supposed to marry. And I got married and had a baby. But and then he was abusive. And the guy before him was abusive. Had several people try to kill me. So it's been a fun journey, facetiously. But God's protected me through it. When I look back at everything, I go, oh, God, why did you protect me? Thank you, though.
Okay, why did they try to kill you?
I have no idea. It's your boyfriends, okay? You know, I guess I was doing something they didn't like. I was really pretty quiet. I mean, my ex-husband, I would cry because I'd want him to spend time with me, and he would want to go out and party with his friends. And then one night he had his friends over, and I had to get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. It was 3, and they were partying downstairs. I went down and asked him politely if he would please turn the music down, and he looked at me and said no. And I probably shouldn't have done this, but I leaned over in his ear and I said, if Lorelai, which was a girl that was over there with her husband at the time, so she asked you to turn it down, you would. And he took off after me, like about out of hell. I had to run up the stairs, and I tried to call the cops, and he yanked the phone out of the wall, and the guy that was with the other girl got in the middle of us because he was getting ready to strangle me.
Got it.
But all I did was say something, and it's like, it was just, it was one of those things like, well, if she asked you, you would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you said that really, at what age did you believe that you were saved?
1979. I'm 58 now. I'm bad at math.
Okay. That's okay.
I think about 17 or 18.
Oh, I see. Okay. It was at that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, all right then. I'm hearing that at times it's been on again, off again, the alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when is the first time you decided, I'm going to do something about this?
That's when I walked down the aisle and got saved. That was
okay.
At least a decade I was clean.
Okay. Okay.
And then up here, I go years, and it would pop back up again.
Okay, so there was something that occurred. Okay, by the way, how did you feel about yourself when you were off those 10 years? In other words, you were not on any kind of drug or alcohol.
Didn't miss it.
Okay. So you were you glad that you were off? Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then... What occurred the first time then you went back into alcohol or whatever drug of choice?
Well, there was a lot of them in there. There was a lot of experimentation, unfortunately. But I'm trying to remember. I know there toward the end of the marriage. I don't know if it's because the marriage was ending. I knew I couldn't do anything about it. So I started... doing the same things he was doing. There was some meth involved, and Thank God he got me off of that. And
wow.
Mm-hmm. Of course, alcohol comes in with it, and then there's some acid in there. And when I exploded, I exploded. So I just went, phew. But,
exploded then, as in it's like, okay, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And the pain of the marriage ending is like, okay, I'm going to do. And did you do this with friends or
my
ex-husband? Yep. Okay.
Yeah,
even though the marriage.
I had other friends that, you know, you go and, hey, we've got some coke. All right, let's just
yep.
get some coke.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then how long was that phase?
2 years.
Okay, 2 years. And then what made you decide to stop or attempt to stop after that 2 years?
We went to go get some meth. And we went down to, of course, you're going to go down to some of the seediest areas you can ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove up to this house, and I saw a sheet or a blanket that was for a door to the house. And
mm-hmm.
we went in, and I saw little children running around, half naked, really dirty. They didn't have electricity, but they were selling meth with these little children. And I'm like, is this what you want for your life? And it took me a little while after that, and I cried out to God one night, and I said, God, you've got to help me with this. This is the worst stuff ever. You've got to help me get off of this. And he did.
Mm-hmm. And how long were you off at that point? Say it one more time.
The tail end of the alcohol and everything. I started that 2 years with my my ex-husband. Who was now my ex-husband. He was my husband at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting to the divorce part.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is you know what it's like to cycle in and out of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And is your question, what is your question for me?
I don't know if you can answer. Why do I do it?
It's a great question, and many people ask that question. Let me see if when we return, I can give you the answer for the why.
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. If you have questions about tonight's topic or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that are sure to address your situation, whatever you might be going through, and give our customer support team a call at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They may be able to recommend a resource or two for you that will help you the most, and they can help you access those resources as well. We're recommending tonight the keys for living called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free and Staying Free. And again, their number is 800-488-4673. You would also maybe you'd like to get the book called How to Defeat Harmful Habits. That's available as well as you get in touch with customer support. Also, check out our website. It's hopefortheheart.org/store. There you can find new updated keys for living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, and June's many biblical resources. You'll find her books and also music CDs are there as well. So you can find that all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's return to our conversation now with Jan.
Well, Jan, I'm clearly hearing, and you've been very articulate about this, you've been very candid, that you would go for a long time without whatever, the alcohol or drug of choice, but then you would return. And it's like you want to know how to, you want to know why do you have this cycle?
Yeah.
And the why that I said, what is your question? You said, why do I do it? Now, there is what is called a cycle, the cycle of addiction. And most people don't begin their lives being dependent on any substance, but they become dependent through repetition. What I mean by that is by repeatedly using a substance to attempt to satisfy some unmet need. So there's a, you know, just imagine right now, here's the cycle that typically progresses. There is some past pain. This is the provocation for using drugs. You know, my heart is aching. I don't like what happened. I don't like what has taken place, and the Bible even says, even in laughter, the heart may ache. By rejoicing, rejoicing may end in grief. So at times what seems fun at the time, that's Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter, the heart may ache. So at times things can seem fun, happy, and yet God never intended anyone to live addicted, because that means you are being controlled by something else. And I'm hearing that this really isn't the desire. This lifestyle is not the desire for your life. So you're wanting to understand the why. Well, typically, I mean, people can recreationally, you know, take alcohol or something, but what happens when all of a sudden you know there's a chemical dependency? You become dependent. It's like, I'm doing this. It is not what I really want to do. That's not my lifestyle that I want for myself, but I keep finding myself in this situation of a chemical dependency. It's called different things, but the point is, you know, you're not, that's why you're calling. You don't want this to be the pattern of your life. So why, you know, what is the reason that I've even mentioned this past pain? Well, no, it can be present pain, but the point is, a drug that we're talking about, not aspirin, the kind of drug we're talking about is mood altering. And it's an attempt to find a solution. Now, you and I know that This is a fix that isn't a true fix.
No.
It's just a temporary solution to emotional pain. And it's like, I don't like these feelings. Like you mentioned, because I asked you what was going on when, you know, yes, you were drug-free for this 10 years, and yet now here a marriage is ending. Bad things are happening. Well, if it's meth, if it's coke, there's a high there, isn't there?
Yeah. I've been divorced probably about 30 years, so it's been a while back.
Yeah, but at the time, it was mood altering.
Yeah.
It's I don't like these feelings. I just want to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so then after the, you know, it's not just a one time. It becomes an addiction when it's taking this mood altering drug or drugs on a regular basis. Then it becomes an addiction. I have to have more. And many times what it is you have to have even more to medicate the pain. In other words, what was once enough to take care of it, no, I have to have more. There's a toleration that your body can get used to, and so then you need more.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, this addiction means now you know you're breaking your internal moral code by just using drugs. So it's violating the values that you actually had. But at that point, it's like, I don't care what I have to do to get it. I just need it. And at that time, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And then there's guilt. Now, see, this is a circle. This is like this pain produces this need for feeling different, a mood-altering drug that becomes addictive and that violates your values. Now, there's a circle, and then there's guilt. And the guilt is, I know I'm wrong. It's feeling convicted about your wrong attitudes and actions. You know, I know what I did isn't really good for me. I know it's not good. I know it's bad. But and then it's like guilt turns to shame. Oh, I feel I am no good. What I did was not good, but now I feel no good. I feel worthless. I feel hopeless. And yet, you know, the truth is that feeling, I hate feeling this shame, so what do? I need some drug to help me feel better. And the cycle goes right back. I hate feeling guilt. I hate feeling shame. I hate the pain. So I use again, whatever it is. I'm using the mood-altering drug because I don't like how I feel. So once drug abuse is established and a cycle develops that is absolutely common among those who abuse drugs, it's a vicious cycle that entraps and enslaves. But the good news is this, my friend. It is a cycle that can be broken.
Mm-hmm.
So you ask the question, why do I do it? Does this make sense? Okay,
yes,
so it's unresolved pain. It's something that it's like, this is the only way I know to deal with my pain. So are you interested then in how can I stop using drugs in an attempt to escape the pain? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I figured that was going to be your next question. Because you're not calling just to talk about the why. You want victory.
Yes.
Victory in your life. And the Bible even says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So how? Well, the beginning point is facing the facts of your past pain. And you take the necessary steps to stop making decisions based on your emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if if you have something that you say, well, I know this will take care of that emotional pain, it'll change how I feel. Well, the problem is, if you then resort to whatever mood-altering drug it is,
yes,
you're going to go back and you're going to have pain. In other words, this is not a solution for your pain, because now you're going to have the pain of guilt and shame and the, you know, violating values. So first, it's really realizing that Jesus said, the truth sets you free. And that means you're not going to be controlled by emotions, even though you have emotions, and we all have emotions. But to be controlled, we've got to instead find what is God's truth. Because the Bible even says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Yes.
Now, so what does that mean? Well, previously you coped in ways that are now controlling you. And so you don't want that. Those ways are not lasting solutions. So it's using your head saying, I don't want to cope in a way that controls me. I want lasting solutions. And because your painful emotions are responses to your thinking, there are specific steps. And by the way, I'm going to send this to you. We call this alcohol and drug abuse, breaking free and staying free. That is exactly what you are calling about, right?
Yes.
Okay. Alcohol and drug abuse, and the subtitle is Breaking Free and Staying Free. So here are some initial steps. Number one, you evaluate. What are my painful thoughts? I want to understand what am I thinking is so painful? Well, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you married, and then there was abuse, and even someone, attempting to kill you, and those are painful memories. And the issue, though, is you evaluate that, and I would write out each one. In fact, my thought would be for you to do a timeline. The earliest days, like childhood, teenage years, and then adulthood, and do it chronologically. What was painful during those time periods? As a child, as a youth, young adult, and then up to your middle age years. So, and then each one, just step, you know, just write it out. What were you thinking that was so painful? Then now you, number two, you redirect those thoughts to God. You tell Him what was so painful. You release each pain to Him.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488, and they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources. We have tonight the keys for living called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free and Staying Free. Also, there's the book called How to Defeat Harmful Habits. It covers about five topics of types of addictions, and you'll want to get in touch with that resource. Again, customer support is available at 800-488-4673. Now, if you would like to speak with June about something that's happening in your life, and you would do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, or let me add as well that if you have been on Hope in the Night before and have been helped by the program, we would like to hear kind of the rest of the story there. Give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Just call, and we'll get back to you to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. Again, that's 800-NIGHT-17. Let's return to the conversation now with Jan.
Well, my friend, is this resonating? Do you feel what I'm sharing with you is making sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Just trying to figure out, you know, like I said, why it's like you're clean for a very long time, and all of a sudden, boom, something slaps you upside the head, and I've never been able to figure it out. It's like, well, okay. They even created another identity. It's like, what? Okay. That's where I just scratched my head. It's like, I look back at, oh, okay.
When you say another identity, explain that.
Well, I didn't actually change my name legally. If it was easier, I probably would have. But I've never liked my name for whatever reason. Good name. My parents gave it to me, but I turned into this vampire image on Facebook.
Okay.
And gave her a different name. I won't say the name. And that, even if you'll ask anybody about me and my family, the first thing they'll tell you is she loves vampires. And I don't believe in them. And that's something else I've probably got to deal with. Backed off of that. I don't watch any of it or anything anymore, but I created this whole nother person that also kind of led me off into another direction. I could be someone else. I didn't want to be me anymore.
Ah, interesting. Yeah.
I was confused by that too, but it's like, what'd you do this for?
You know, it's so interesting that you say that. You had this image, you didn't like who you were, and so to literally, you were gifted at changing in some dramatic ways, weren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty strong. To have
a writer, fortunately, procrastination held me off. I learned to write stories that are not appropriate, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And apparently I was very good because my beta readers said so, but I'm glad as one, I don't recommend procrastination as a lifestyle, but mm-hmm. I'm so glad that I didn't publish any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and totally, and it led me into a totally different lifestyle. It just went down that road.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked back and went, you know, I did things in the name of research where research was a couch word for sin. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I justified it in my own head. Oh, this is research. No, it's not. It's sin.
Wow. Well, there are different reasons why people decide to have a different image. It just happened to be that I was on a call with my sister tonight, and she was talking about how she, it's the first time she said this, she said, I hated the fact that we were living a lie. And she said, you know, to grow up with a fictitious last name, which I did, and we did, and she's just never said this before. And this is after decades and decades, you know. But if you grow up, and we didn't have a choice, you know, we were a family off on the side with this fictitious last name. But it is a change of identity. Now, you and I know that's not healthy. You and I know that this isn't God's design for us, but it's an attempt to look, you know, to avoid the negative reality, and we just go on and make up our own reality in terms of, again, I didn't have a choice, but the fact is you and I did the same thing. We lived a lie for a period of time. And what I'm proud of with you, you have, you know, there's a prodigal son story, and it says when he finally came to his senses, it's like, I got to return back. I got to come home. And God wants you to come home to him, And he is the one who heals the brokenhearted. I love this scripture. He heals the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Yeah.
And he knows all about us. And it, you know, he's not pointing the finger. He's saying, he's opening his arms. He wants us to come to him and to not resort to things that are not in his will.
Yeah.
So this is where, you know, we talked about you evaluate your pain, your painful thoughts, and as I said, you write them down. You turn them where you're, after you do this list and this timeline, you literally say, Lord, I'm verbalizing to you what was so painful, and I want to release this pain into your hands. And you know, life is a series of choices. I'm going to repeat that. Life is a series of choices. We can coddle the pain and go, oh, it was so hard, and just go over and over. And yet, instead, he wants us to release the pain to him. And in part, this is why there's a blessing of having healthy people in our lives. In other words, the next point is to get help where, yes, you can talk to a friend, but also there can be a trusted person who's wise, a counselor, pastor, coach, someone who understands addiction. Do you have, first of all, just someone who is wise in your life who you know could be a help?
Not at this point. I've got a really good friend, but I can't really talk to her about it because she's a believer too, but she's not that kind of person you can really open to on that. I don't
Even
have a home church right at this point. So
that was going to be my suggestion.
Baptist Atlanta.
Yeah, okay. Well, I love that you are understanding. You know, for you to be in a church fellowship, I want you to realize you could become the answer to someone else's prayer. You could become an answer to someone else's prayer by virtue of there are people who want somebody real that they can talk to. And there are people who are good people, but it's like they haven't been through the kind of pain you've been through. And you want to find someone that doesn't mean that they have to have done everything you've done, been there, done that. But it's somebody who is compassionate, a compassionate friend. And to be in a church where there are a lot of people who, yes, you can be growing, but then God can send you the right kind of friend, and he can enable you to be the friend that somebody else is praying for.
Exactly.
And then the next point would be not just get help from somebody you can trust, but then also get support. That means you meet with others, like whether it's AA or there are groups that are Christian groups that they get together and they say, we're going to go over the Christian 12-step program and we're going to apply that, and I'm going to be sending that to you. I'm going to be sending you some things that are going to help you, okay? But then getting support, this means others really do understand. And it means that then not only do you have people in common who know right where you are, they've been there, done that, but then there's something, another key point. You have been hurt by certain people. I've heard it. And there's an act of your will where, but I'll just ask, has it been difficult for you to forgive any individuals who have hurt you?
It took me years to forgive my ex-husband. It really did. I hated him. I wanted to kill him.
Yeah. I understand. Is there anybody that you currently are struggling to forgive?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay. Good. Well, a key thing that's a block for so many people is they will not forgive, and so they're in bondage. It's like they're staying hooked to the pain of the past by not forgiving someone. But I would have said, choose to forgive each person who has hurt you, where you release each one to God. But what I know is the Lord is your Redeemer. He's called your Redeemer. And the more you release your pain to him, the more he will bring about healing. He heals the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's Psalm 34, 18. And so when we send you our material on alcohol and drug abuse, breaking free and staying free, you're going to learn things about addiction. You're going to have practical other steps to do, to literally become a part of your life, and just to go over them every day. It can be then, you know, every few days, just keep going through these specifics of what do you do to keep a clean slate when you realize you have wrong thoughts. And so we have these step by step. It's like how to discover deliverance from dependency. And these practical steps you can apply. And I think you have an understanding. In fact, I know you have an understanding. You don't want to live a life of being dependent and being controlled. So, Heavenly Father, I pray right now our friend Jan will literally receive every bit of the healing that you offer her, and may she really learn how to break free and stay free in your power.
We will send the Keys for Living called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free and Staying Free. Also, How to Defeat Harmful Habits. We'll send those out to tonight's caller free of charge, and we can do that because of your generous support of this ministry. If you would like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, just go to hopefortheheart.org and look for that donate button there. We thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the Facebook page. It is called Hope in the Night. And like that and tell your friends about it. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope. The preceding program was pre-recorded.